From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. This morning, we are going to talk to Baton Rouge radio personality Matt Moscona on today's show. We're going to talk a little LSU baseball. Neil forces some LSU football into the show. And
you know
we're
me,
going
man.
To
football,
talk
football, football.
We're going to talk whiskey because it's Friday and that's what we wanted to do and it's fun. And you also get a really good Greg Maddux story toward the end, too. So hang on with us with Matt today. Yeah, Neil felt an obligation to talk about Ed Orgeron. Somehow Ed and whiskey go quite hand in hand together, so we will
they once did.
We'll get to that in a bit on this Friday podcast. It is brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Come into town today for the weekend. Stop by, get some ribs, wet or dry. Call ahead or just pick up. They'll be ready and waiting on you. Get a daiquiri as little as $3. Maybe a daiquiri and ribs. Make a day for daiquiri and ribs tonight. That goes together okay, right? You can make that happen.
Sure.
Especially with the weather up, you know, the temperature up a little bit. You can have a slab and a hurricane.
You know, I'm a big believer in the following. Drink what you like.
I don't mean drink what you like. I just mean, is that a combination that is palatable is what I'm
asking. Why not?
Okay, that's a yes.
Right?
Okay.
Why not?
Okay. I like daiquiri. I like ribs.
There you go.
Daiquiri and ribs.
Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah. Like the Friends episode where Joey gets the cookbook pages together and they have like lady fingers and peas and potted meat and all in the same thing. It's like... Peace, good. Meat, good. What's the problem? Anyway, Oxford Crystal, you can get some different shakes as the temperature is going up to. The Red Hot Shake, if you so desire. Got a little cinnamon, got a little heat to it, but that's all right.
Yeah.
In the 80-degree weather this weekend. Probably get a few thunderstorms tomorrow, but that's all right. We will persist. So stop in at the Oxford Exxon, the Oxford Crystal, and visit Clark Ford in Amory.
Indeed, visit Clark Ford. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You get your quote, and then it's up to you. You can chop it around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. We'll make the deal even better at the end of your deal. Tell Corey, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. That dropped yesterday. You can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. You can mention the Greatest Pod in the South presented by Cathead Vodka. Any of those, $500 off the bottom line.
So
you got a new podcast out.
I do. We talked to Kevin Weeks this week. Kevin, former Ole Miss golfer, now the director of instruction at Cog Hill in the Chicagoland area. We discussed junior golf, getting kids into golf, making it fun for them, as
Kevin.
Well as some other topics. So.
Kevin's reached out to me because Carson wants to start kind of learning some golf this summer. And Kevin had some advice.
Did he?
Yeah, I need to follow up with him and get some.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're going to get a first instructor, a top 50 teacher in the world would be a good,
not bad,
good place to start. Yeah,
not bad.
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
Power of the podcast. And
all, it
right?
might be one of those excuses where, hey, we probably should go to Chicago.
Why are you? Are the Cubs in town? We so happen to be going to get lessons at Cog Hill. Was kind
of
what we're thinking.
Son of a gun! So you're there, and they are too, huh?
I think he's more of a White Sox guy.
That's okay. It's baseball.
Speaking of golf, Rory McIlroy turns 29 years old today. The list of golfers with more majors than him on their 29th birthday, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, Bobby Jones. That's it.
Pretty good company.
It's a good list.
Good list to be on.
It's a good list. All right, again, we're just kind of going to scattershoot a little bit today on the show. I don't have a lot. Neil doesn't have a lot, but we'll power through. Ole Miss, real quick. Ole Miss, South Carolina tonight, 6 o'clock Central from Founders Park in Columbia. Ole Miss needs to. One still makes things okay, but puts a lot of pressure on the next 2 weeks when you probably need 5 of 6 at that point, frankly.
You'd love to win tonight and go into the rest of the weekend where you say, hey, a split would be awesome.
Carolina is hot. Carolina is also a flawed baseball team. This isn't a Ray Tanner team lining up with Justin Smoke and those dudes in the lineup waiting on you. So it's a they're not bad, but it's a winnable series. It's been much more formidable in Columbia over the years. So
Smoke's a top 10 college player that I've ever seen in person.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's one?
Pedro Alvarez.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, he was.
Yeah.
Albert Bell.
Yeah, so you can go into so much more than I can, but.
David Price.
Yeah.
Drew Pomeranz. I think guys who had just stuck out on the page, if you will.
Jackie Bradley.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 him. Yeah, for sure.
He had the best arm I think I've seen in action.
Yes.
Just the rocket from areas where you go, that's not the same.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's on the list.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's top five. I'm trying to think. You know who's a really good college player that I saw in person, and his career never turned out? Brad Cressy at LSU. Yeah. He hit a ball at Auburn that, like, I saw people talking about one of Dillard's shots the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Cressy hit a ball at Auburn over the left field wall at Plainsman. I don't think it ever landed. I mean, I know literally it landed, but he had to have hit it 550 feet.
Yeah,
the ball was still rising in a sharp vertical, think like a rocket fashion as it crossed the left field wall.
Yeah, so this a couple of the more impressive ones I've seen was Kent Mathis for Alabama hit the ball completely over the left hill terrace into the parking lot of the band hall or whatever's back there at Swayze.
Yeah.
And then Pedro Alvarez hit one up on the hill past the batter's eye in center field, just to the right of the batter's eye. It's Swayze right there. Obviously, back before they changed the things, I've seen two or three in the tennis courts over the years. But I think the ball Pedro hit and the ball Mathis hit. Andrew Clark hit a ball into the upper deck at the Metrodome in 07. That's a long way.
He's the kid that went to Louisville, right?
Yeah, from Indiana. Got kind of homesick.
Sure.
Things didn't go perfect and ended up at Louisville with Dan.
One of the good things about the SEC, you see some pretty good players kind of roll their way through.
See Casey Myers next week.
Yeah, well, and you see Ryan Rollison every Friday, and he's going top 10 in the draft.
You don't appreciate the players you cover every day the same way because you just see them all day. Even if they're excellent, you don't – I mean, even when you cover Drew, you just go, that's Drew. Okay. I think when he gets done, you look back and go, oh.
There were a couple of times covering Drew when I went, this cat's different, and I'm not going to act like I watch him all the time. I'm going to kind of enjoy watching him pitch.
Yeah.
I've talked about it so many times that it's not funny anymore. I always enjoyed his personality on the mound. It made me laugh.
Yeah, not even with Mike and us talking about that, but just in general. He's a different cat on game day. I mean, he's always nice, but you get him on game day, and he wakes up a little pissed off that day.
Yeah, I would always laugh because you could talk to Drew the day after he pitched.
And he's fine.
He's fine. Kind of, whatever.
Real nonchalant.
Yeah, he really didn't want to talk to you, but it's cool. I realize it's part of it and whatever. Ask me whatever. I'm going to answer it. And you want a detailed answer? Okay, I'll give it to you. But there was something about him on game day that was just completely different, which was with everyone, teammates, opponents, everyone. A little bit of a, I'd like to kill you right now. Don't bother me. You're in my space. Get the hell out of my space.
I don't remember why I was down there because it's not typical for me to do this. I think I've told the story. Was one of his years, I was in the dugout or next to the dugout right before or an hour and a half before a game doing something. And I don't even remember the other player, but somebody was trying to screw with Drew and kind of like hit him with a glove and play around.
That wasn't smart.
And he grabs the glove and throws it directly at their head as hard as he can. And we all went, whoa. And Some of the people were like, "Yeah, you might want to leave him alone today. Just get out of his space. Get away. It'll be all right." But yeah, somebody was screwing with him, and it didn't end perfectly. But nonetheless, Ole Miss, Carolina again. Ole Miss needs them. They need to keep piling up wins. Hoover's going to probably matter at least in some essence as this thing unfolds. But I'll be honest, with everything so tight right now, they just need wins, period, because everybody's all bunched up. I mean, you look at D1Baseball.com this week, Auburn's 7 in the RPI, and D1 doesn't even expect them to host. Not be a national seed, host.
You know my fear. And if you're wanting to trust the NCAA right now, well, that's on you. It's somebody in the league's getting screwed. You know it.
Win enough to not be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I will feel for Auburn or Ole Miss or Arkansas or whoever it happens to who deserves to host. But someone from the SEC who deserves to host is not going to host because they're going to grow the damn game. Which is now code for we really just don't like the SEC. We don't want too much SEC in Omaha, and it turned into a two-week infomercial for the league that we'd really
Mark Etheridge looked for the biggest RPI screw job he could find in recent years. And in 2014, Houston, the Cougars, were number 10 in the RPI and ended up the 2 seed in Baton Rouge. That's fair. Let's do that.
Like I've said, if I'm Ole Miss, I'm making sure I get 5 of these last 9, and I'd preferably get 6 of these last 9. I don't want to put my name in that mix of, well, who can we screw?
On the this is Mark Etheridge on D1Baseball.com. Best RPI to not host. He says Auburn sits at 6 in the RPI rankings, but was not projected to host in this week's field. Despite their 31-14 overall record, the Tigers have a losing record at 10-11 in the SEC. With final series versus Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, and LSU, Auburn may have to do better than just winning 2 home series and avoiding a road sweep to host. Because if that's how it finishes, a 15-15 mark likely will not be enough to host without a strong showing in Hoover. And they do get the benefit of a win over Alabama in the midweek. And then I think they went 4-0 against Alabama. Because this is notable here. You have to remember this. The NCAA is going to count that Governor's Cup game as an SEC game.
Yeah.
So Ole Miss is 12-10 right now in the SEC from an NCAA standpoint.
Need to win games.
You go to Hoover, those count the same. I mean,
yeah, it's crazy.
It's stupid.
So stupid.
Frankly, it's like you said, stop playing it. I mean.
Because it's not even that big of a moneymaker, is it? Is the SEC tournament a big moneymaker?
No, I'm talking about the midweek against State.
Oh, I wouldn't play that game anymore.
I get Hoover, or you're playing that, but
I don't know. A lot of people think, you and I have talked about it before, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it today because, quite frankly, it's a mundane topic, but a lot of people think add another SEC series and don't play the tournament.
I like that because I hate uneven scheduling. Well, you'd have to cut a non-conference weekend. So here's your problem when you do that. It's just people's eye tests. You're taking wins off total resumes when you do that.
Yeah, you're boosting RPI.
You're boosting RPI, probably. But you're taking wins away.
Yeah, you are. And you're adding losses.
Yeah. That's the tough move. The Pac-12 does it.
Yeah.
They don't have a Pac-12 tournament. They play regular season series. But it would even out scheduling a little bit because when you miss 3 teams in a season, you can get really lucky or unlucky.
Yeah.
I mean, Ole Miss, frankly, got a little lucky this year. Kentucky would have been a road series. That's not on the series. And then don't play Florida.
Yeah, they don't face Singer on a Friday night.
Yeah, but, you know, you play Florida, that RPI might be a little higher, but I'll take the wins.
Yeah.
You know.
Love to sit down with a handful of coaches, no filter. Honestly, what would you do? Love to have their thoughts.
Well, because if they're going to count anyway, I'd rather play a structured series than a tournament in Hoover when I'm trying to figure out who to pitch.
What I don't like about the Hoover thing is this. If you're going to treat those games like normal games, but they're not normal games. They're not normal. Like, you win on Wednesday, you lose on Thursday, you win on Friday, you get to Saturday, and the truth is you're kind of ready to go home, but what if you need that win? Well, now I'm playing a meaningful game with the back end of my bullpen. I'm playing a meaningful game with the midweek starter. What do I really want to do? Well, you need to win. A loss is a regular season loss. Exactly. You rolled your eyes for those who don't have ESPN 9. I don't like it. I've always thought it was kind of stupid. And you're playing in a park that is completely different from any park that you're going to play in the playoffs. Unless you get to Omaha.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to Omaha.
At which point, when you get to Omaha, they put you in this giant cavern and go, hey, play for the national title in a completely different environment than you played in all year. I don't know. Whatever it
is. I had that opinion at 14, and a media personality told me to stop whining and shut up.
Who was the media personality?
You know this.
I don't.
I don't feel like stirring it back up today. Finally got past it, mostly.
I'm curious. You have to tell me off the air. I'm curious.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think it's what sparked my weird conversation the other day that I'll tell you about, too.
Okay.
Well, I did tell you, I think, but anyway. All right, I'm rambling now. We're going to go to Matt Moscona in a few minutes. When we do that, again, we get a lot of LSU, a little LSU baseball, a good bit of LSU football, and then, frankly, a lot of alcohol talk is where we head with Matt here in a moment. First, I'll tell you the podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com is the place to go to sign an annual contract. Let them take care of you all year long. Also, get free pressure washing of your driveway and sidewalks with an annual contract. Or if you have a pressure washing job more than 2,000 square feet, $50 off. 662-607-7773.
Hey, Ole Miss fans living in or moving to Dallas, if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metroplex, give Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's a call. A rebel by marriage, Lauren specializes in East Dallas, has a network that extends throughout the DFW Metroplex. She is consistently ranked as a top agent producer in D Magazine, was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood East Dallas area. So whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in Dallas, you need a realtor who knows the town. Call Lauren Valick Ferris, 469-867-1600. 1734, or go to her website, laurenandkelly.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, that kind of thing, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years. Loan amounts up to $100,000 and credit scores down to 580. They'll get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. It's a $500 savings, so call him today. And the podcast is brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their site, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a really good one when you get Robert Gambrell. They handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800.
Podcast also brought to you by Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel. Completely free service specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations. Taking the stress out of planning, take care of dining and fast pass reservations, transportation, anything else related to your vacation. Mention the podcast to get a $25 Disney gift card for booking and contact him for a free, no obligation quote, Brandon at KeysToDreamTravel.com. Or 901-634-8687. And don't forget to ask about the free dining possibilities depending on when you book. Now, Matt Moscona out of Baton Rouge.
Matt, appreciate you spending some time with us here on this Friday morning. We're going to get to the main topic in a moment. We're going to talk whiskey and bourbon and such in a minute. But first, so that our listeners won't beat us up, we'll actually talk some football. In May.
Real quick before we get to football, yeah. I do have one question. What is it like being around an LSU team in baseball that first time in my lifetime has zero confidence. I mean, I watched them over the weekend in Oxford, and earlier in the year I said, you know, LSU doesn't look like LSU. If anybody looks like LSU right now, it's Ole Miss, where they feel like they win late games. That LSU season has got to be incredibly weird to be around right now.
It is, especially considering the contrast from a year ago where they had so many veteran guys and leaders, where you had Kramer Robertson and, you know, playing with a fat lip most of the season. You had Greg Dykeman, who was hitting 480-foot homers. You know, you had Lang, who was a hammer on Friday night, and Poche, who was the bulldog, you know, air quotes, the kid who's the winningest pitcher in LSU history. I mean, they had so much talent last year, but they also had that feeling like every time they went out, they weren't going to lose when they really turned it on. And this LSU team is kind of the opposite. I mean, they got a bunch of talent on this team, but it's that feeling like when you got six outs to go, you know, who wants the ball in their hand? You know, what pitcher wants to take the ball and go get the final six outs? You know, who wants to be at the plate down a run with the winning run at third? And like, that's where this team is struggling right now. It's very much a between the ears, because physically they maybe don't have the big boppers in the lineup like they have in years past. They're as talented as they've ever been. So you said it right, Chase. It's a weird year to be around LSU baseball.
Okay, good enough. Go ahead now.
Can they fix it?
Sure. I mean, it's baseball, and whenever you have talent, I mean, you think you got Hess on Friday, who's shown to be a legit ace, although he really had a battle in Oxford last weekend. But Mikhail Hilliard's been a pleasant surprise. And if you just think of it from the, you know, in those terms, and when you get into postseason, you just got to win a weekend. You know, if LSU can get hot here in these final three weekends, hosting a regional isn't out of the question. We saw Florida State do something similar last year. They were 14-14 in the ACC, but they got hot late, won the ACC tournament, and ended up hosting a regional. You know, if you get a weekend at the box, man, you got Hess to win a marble game for you, and you know, potentially Mikhail Hilliard in a game three, you know, a closeout game. Yeah, I mean, of course they can. It's still LSU. They still got talent. It just comes down to winning a weekend. I mean, think of it this way, guys. As much of a struggle as the season's been for LSU, they were, you know, they were six outs away, or really even just a base hit in the ninth,
yeah,
from taking a road series against a top five team in the country. I mean, that's how odd baseball is, and how thin the margin is in the SEC. But you know, when you're in this conference, if you don't wake up every day you come to the yard and you're laser focused, I mean, you can get beat. It's just the schedule's unforgiving in the SEC. So, you know, I mean, I hate to throw out cliches, but I think a lot of guys on this team just expect, because they're LSU, you know, it says it on the hat or across the chest, that they're going to go win, and it's not happening. And it's been a big time learning experience for a lot of these young guys who have watched other guys in the program do it before and recognizing they have to go do it now.
Speaking of unforgiving schedules, football in the fall, Ed Orgeron.
Now that is a hell of a transition.
Yeah, you know, I'll just be honest, Matt, I'm not seeing 8 or 9 here for in the W column.
So 9, I think, would be the absolute max ceiling. Everything goes right. And that would start with the most improbable part of it, which is having one of these quarterbacks emerge and become a stud when nobody's expecting that to happen.
Stud or competent?
Stud.
No, Danny Etling was competent, and they lost four games.
Okay,
last
fair enough.
Year. All right. They need someone that can go win them a ball game. You know, there were times last year for Georgia, and look, they had a great defense. I think this LSU defense is going to be good. They had two senior running backs, so Fromm had some pieces around him where he didn't have to do everything. But there were times last year where Fromm had to go put together a drive and be a dude, and he was. And you've seen freshmen do that. Or first-year starters do that. I mean, I think at times, you know, Shea Patterson was capable of that. But one of these guys has to surprise us and do that. Now, you asked the question, you know, it 8 or 9 might be tough. Eight, I think, is doable if some things in the league don't – if Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State has a tough transition and they're coming to Baton Rouge I think LSU wins that game. I think it could be a tough transitional year for Ole Miss as well. I think LSU can win that one. How do Arkansas and A&M year one with their new coaches look in November? Like, those could be games that are really tough for LSU, or those could be games that they could steal on the road in November.
Oh,
but I mean,
I was going to say LSU is much more likely to beat Arkansas than Ole Miss or State, in my opinion. I think year one under Chad Morris, with his personnel versus his system, that might be the ultimate train wreck in the division.
It could be. He brought in John Chavis, which is John's got a great history in the SEC, but he obviously struggled at Texas A&M. And I agree with you on personnel at Arkansas. But something to consider about the Arkansas game is where, and we talk about this every year, but for LSU, that falls the week after the Alabama game. And for LSU, a lot of years, that's been a bottoming out. When they lose to Alabama, they just can't get up off the mat the next week.
Yeah.
And for Arkansas, when they play LSU, it's a weird thing, guys, but like for I don't know if y'all know this, but for Arkansas, they look at LSU like their biggest rival. You know, that Friday after Thanksgiving game for so many years, LSU resented it, and Arkansas embraced it. It's funny because the shoe's on the other foot now, because Arkansas has been forced into that with Missouri now. And Arkansas resents it, and Missouri's embraced it, and you've seen Missouri pull off a couple upsets in that series. So my point with that is LSU typically going into that game is at an emotional low after losing to Bama, and Arkansas is at an emotional high because it's LSU coming in, and that game's in Fayetteville. So I've come to never have any expectation about the result of that game, because even really good LSU teams have struggled playing Arkansas.
I can't remember when it was. I was in Mobile, and I was covering a lot of LSU games back then, and I had to go over there. It was a day after Thanksgiving, like you said, and it was one of those deals. I woke up a little hungover, threw some clothes on, and drove to Baton Rouge, and I made the mistake of putting on a reddish shirt, and so I got yelled at all the way into the stadium. But LSU won the game.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was funny. I laughed. I was like, yeah, I walked right into this. LSU won the game, but I was down on the field mid-fourth quarter. The LSU people they didn't know where the boot was. And they were like, hey, we got to find the boot. Where is it? And someone's like, I think it's in the equipment room or whatever. And someone's like, well, go get it. And they had come back and got it. It's not there. And they had to go. They finally found it. And someone was like, we could have at least polished it up. And they're like, we kind of forgot. Yeah.
I don't know if this was the year, but in 2011, so that was the year when LSU obviously had the undefeated season and then Bama got the rematch. But Arkansas in that game was number three in the country. And so it was a 1-3 matchup the day after Thanksgiving. Petrino was the coach and all that stuff. And LSU wins the game. Tyrann Mathieu made they had a punt return for a touchdown, some game-changing plays, whatever. And after the game, the LSU team goes into the locker room, and they left the boot just sitting on the field. it was just out like on the 30-yard line, just sitting there on the grass. And nobody thought, let's go take this trophy into the locker room. Arkansas fans don't like me talking about it, y'all, but it's an odd contrast how into the game Arkansas people are and how little LSU actually cares about the Arkansas game.
I mean, really it should be more respect paid to the boot, because it's a much better looking trophy than that other one that LSU plays for throughout the year that I'm aware of. So,
The Magnolia thing?
Yeah, the sophomore woodshop award that goes to most improved.
Why are we doing this with all the trophies? I mean, is this like, can the Big Ten just have that? Can they have the Paul Bunyan's axe and the oaken bucket and the wooden boot or whatever it is that they play for? Like, can we all just agree to let them have the trophies? That this isn't something that's absolutely necessary?
Yes, it's their thing, and I say let them have it. It's theirs. They came up with that idea first, at least as far as I'm concerned, and they can just do it. It's cool, but I just – that – Chase has made a lot of people angry about the woodshop trophy.
Didn't it fall apart a couple of years ago, like the flower fell off?
Yeah, the magnolia fell off, and then they remodeled it, and I think the remodel was worse. You know, in like sophomore geography, the teacher had like the big wooden podiums. It kind of looks like they just cut the bottom off of it and put the magnolia on top and took it in and did some.
If they if they brought that trophy in front of me and had two others that resembled it, there was about, I have a 33.3% chance of getting it right, of what it actually looks like. I would literally just be guessing.
Well, it's heavy as hell. Whoever wins it, they have to like go get another jet to take the team home because that you just put the damn trophy on the manifest.
Yeah, I do it out of spite now because I know it bothers some people, but yeah. It is what it is. So take a break in our talk with Matt to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. They're a leader in condo financing in Oxford, and the float down option which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. Then send him an email, ha@HarryAlexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by our friends at Grenada Nissan. If you are in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans, great lease deals. It's a easy, convenient automotive purchasing experience, great service after the sale as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base, exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year. Will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss and Auburn starting Thursday at Swayze. That game starts at 6. Tickets available at olemisstix.com, olemisstix.com. Speaking of that game and speaking of alcohol, if you are in the Jackson area and you can't make it up to Swayze next Thursday night, come to Cathead Distillery in downtown Jackson instead. Hang out with Jay Tate and myself. We will be taping an episode of Greatest Pod in the South around 5. You can come to that, ask questions if you like, be a part of the show. And then at 6, we'll turn the TVs on to Auburn and Ole Miss, have a little watch party of sorts there at the distillery. Again, that's Cathead, May the 10th, which is Thursday. The show a little probably around 5, and the game starts at 6, and you can watch it with us at Cathead.
Now back to Matt Moscona on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Whatever. But anyway, let's talk more important things. Let's talk bourbon. Matt, I still...
Hold on. Time out. I do want to ask this about football because I'm curious.
Fine, whatever.
In the event that it goes super, super bad, okay? It goes really bad. If it went really bad, could year two be the end for Orgeron? And if it were, how real would the name Hugh Freeze be in Baton Rouge?
Well, there's another element to that, and it's Joe Oliva. So Joe, of course, athletic director, hired Ed, and Joe's not going to fire Ed. So there was a report recently that maybe the Board of Supervisors might try to take action against Joe Oliva to move him out. Guys, I've heard that rumor for like 2 years now, and it's no secret. Like, there have been vocal members of who have gone on the record speaking out against Joe. It's no secret. But they've also never had enough support to actually do anything. So that report, I don't know how valid it is. But I'll put it to you this way. As long as Joe is in place, Ed's not going anywhere. So if it got, like, the scenario you're talking about, Neil, if it got so bad, and again, I'm not predicting this, but I'm just saying, like, to play out the hypothetical that you're talking about,
yeah,
it would have to be an Arkansas-like scenario where their board collectively got together, moved out Jeff Long, and then that removed the safety net, and they were able to fire Brett after the season, Bielema. So it would have to be that type of scenario. All that said, like, I can't imagine a scenario where Ed's fired after 2 years. Like, the instability that that would create within a program, firing a coach after two seasons, is almost immeasurable. I mean, unless whoever were in charge had their ducks in a row and had absolutely identified the guy who was 100% taking the job if you move that guy out, like Ohio State when Urban Meyer was just sitting there, and so it's like, all right, we'll go through a year of 6-6 with Luke Fickell because we know Urban's coming next year. Like, okay. But I don't know that that scenario exists for LSU. And as far as Hugh Freeze, as long as Joe Aliva is the athletic director, there's no chance because Joe, for better or worse, for his pros and cons, his good and his flaws, he will not put up with character issues or violations. Like LSU has had no sanctions, no any major sanctions under Aliva. Their APR is at an all-time high. He's not going to dabble with guys that have issues like that. So, and I'm certain that's one of the big reasons why Hugh Freeze isn't at LSU now on Ed Orgeron's staff. It's not the reason, but it's one of them certainly. So, but long way of answering your question, Neil, but as long as Joe Aliva is in place, Ed's not going anywhere, and as long as Joe Aliva is in place, Hugh Freeze won't be at LSU.
Fair enough.
Okay, good now.
Yeah, I'm good.
I want to talk bourbon. Neil wanted to talk Ed Orgeron.
Okay. If I didn't ask about Hugh Freeze, people would yell at us for not asking about Hugh Freeze.
All right, so you're doing – I stumbled across one of your first reviews on YouTube, I guess on Twitter when it was linked or something, and there is a complete lack of pretentiousness. It's just I like what I like. But you struck me a little bit with the one last night. You tagged me in it, and this morning I listened to it on the drive over to Neil's. Your great-grandfather was a cabbie and a mixologist in New Orleans?
That's what he did in the 20s, man. Isn't that kind of cool?
I am fascinated.
The guy who wore, like, the garter on his arm and stuff. That's what he did. That's kind of cool.
It's really cool.
So what is the point of contention in the world today? What is the perfect old-fashioned recipe, then? What's the correct way to do it?
I can't give that away. I mean, I can't give away his recipe, but let's just say that there's a lot of TLC that goes involved in it. You know, one of the things that have you guys ever come upon this where you go to a bar and you order one, and there's, you know, like a barkeep that tries to throw soda water in an old fashioned.
Oh yeah, it's awful. It's awful. It's the end.
I mean, it's like, what are you trying to do?
Well, I've got a theory here, Matt.
I've got
a theory, and it's that when bourbon became kind of cool again, if you will, with the Mad Men and the stuff, where so many more people jumped into it, I think a lot of people jumped into it that don't necessarily like bourbon. So bars got much worse at the old-fashioned because they were trying to, A, they didn't know what they were doing, A, but B, they were trying to water it down to make it more for the masses. So you got the club soda coming back in higher quantities. You also got the muddling to the extent that it becomes fruit juice. I think they screwed it up trying to make it more palatable for the person that didn't actually like what they were ordering.
See, now I think that's a very interesting theory and something I had not considered. Now, do you have a particular type of whiskey that you prefer in your old fashioned?
I like rye because I like a little more spice and kick to it. A regular, I'm a little more high gravity, high heat bourbon guy than Neil. Like, I like my bourbons typically 120, 130, somewhere up in there.
I'm getting there.
And with the rye, it gives me a little more, whereas just a bourbon is kind of sticky sweet for me.
Yeah, so, and I agree with you, and there's some people that swear you should never use anything but a Tennessee sour mash whiskey in an old fashioned. But if you like rye, and I do as well, have you ever tried bullet rye in an old fashioned?
Yeah, it's a very good, safe, every time it is outstanding. It is consistent and solid every time.
That's what I would say. Like, if you're looking, that's the word I would use, is consistency. If you're looking for something that's palatable and consistent, the bullet rye is a really, really good choice.
Yeah, Neil has gotten more into this. He befriended a world-class bartender about a year ago. Jonathan Howard joins us. He helps Neil out with his 10 thoughts every week. Because about a year ago, Neil was kind of that beer guy, just kind of getting into bourbon a little bit. And then now he's trying to go in full effect. But I guess my question before we get too deep into that is, what made you start with the reviews, and kind of what was your process to get to that point?
So, like, I'm not that different from Neil. I'm only about 2 years into really being all in. I was always like the Jack and Coke type of guy. And then my cousins, who we grew up like brothers, like, they started really getting into bourbon. And so when we'd have family, you know, holidays, I'd start trying some of their stuff and sort of developing things you like. And then, you know, the holidays come around and you get all of these special releases. And then it's like, then you're on the chase to find the rare stuff. And that gets fun. And then you start finding out what you like. So anyway, I've been doing that for almost 2 years now, and the whiskey review just came because last football season, me and the guy who hosts the morning show on our station, we did an LSU post game Facebook Live show. We called it Whiskey and Wine. So like we were literally drinking, doing the post game show on a Facebook Live feed, and we get like
it was a brilliant idea.
It was amazing because it was literally, I'm at my house with my phone. He's at his house with his phone. We're drinking. We go, you know, split screen, and we're just reading people's comments and talking about the game, completely unfiltered. He's drinking. I'm drinking. And so every week I would drink something different during the show, and people would always look to see what I was drinking. So then people started asking.
We're stealing
hey,
this, right?
What's good? What's good?
Oh, yeah. This so is we're stealing the hell out of this.
Please, you really should. I mean,
we're gonna. So yeah,
Look, in digital, I mean, you all know you're doing a podcast right now. I mean, digital is not only the future; it's the now. And something else that I find is that people are even in game looking for a companion broadcast. So it's a way, in a sense, for people that maybe like you guys or like your content, who'd like, see, man, I love to sit down and have a drink and watch a game with that guy. It's a way for them to do that.
It's why ESPN,
in quite a literal sense.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It's why ESPN on the championship game has those different shows, and one of them is the coaches just sitting around talking. People like it's, that. They like that.
Have you noticed? I saw ESPN issued a release yesterday that Ryan Russillo and another one of their guys, I didn't recognize the guy's name, they're going to do something similar on Twitter for NBA playoffs. They're going to do a companion broadcast for NBA playoffs on Twitter. It's just, I mean, that's where the world's going. Nobody watches one screen anymore. It's like you have a screen in either a second screen or a third screen. So, you know, maybe you're watching the game and then you have your Twitter open, or, you know, you're commenting on Facebook or whatever it may be. You're looking for interaction as you're watching a game. So, man, my whole thing is, I recognize attention is the commodity in our world, so I want to be wherever my audience is and do whatever they want to be able to consume my content. So if it's hanging out and drinking whiskey during a game and talking about that while we talk about LSU, losing by 30 to Mississippi State last year, losing at home to Troy, I'll be there.
I think I watched it after one of those two games, and I thought that was a brilliant idea. Because you had tons of people on there, and they were mad and all that stuff, but you were talking. It was brilliant. I remember watching it, thinking that was really smart.
You know, and how that actually came about. The LSU played the season opener that year in New Orleans. If you remember, they were supposed to play in Houston. Yeah. Hurricane Harvey displaced that game against BYU. They ended up playing in the Superdome. Well, the guy, the morning show host, called me. He was doing a remote in New Orleans that morning. He was driving back to Baton Rouge. He called me. He's like, "Hey, man, you want to do like a Facebook Live post game chat type deal?" I was like, "Hell, sure, I'm in." We did it. It gets like 30,000 views, you know, and we're like, "Hey, maybe we have something here." So we actually got it sponsored. We made money on it for basically us to sit on Facebook Live for 90 minutes after the game and drink and talk about the game.
We'll take another break from our interview with Matt to tell you that Matt and all other guests join us on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Let Billy's Pecans, based in Crenshaw, Mississippi, handle all of your corporate gifting. I know a lot of you already have. We appreciate it. So does Billy's Pecans. And the people who have done it will tell you that it could not have gone better for them. So give them a call. It's 1-800-624-7404. Billy'sPecans.com. They got all sorts of corporate gifts from small to large. Whether it's 5 to 5,000 orders, they can handle it. The assorted gift bags, the party trio, pecans and chocolate, so much more. They'll customize your packaging with your company or organization's logo affixed as a sticker to their round boxes. So your brand is front of mind and the Billy's Pecans flavors are there to back it up. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans and More, and it couldn't be any more satisfying. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. There's no 10 buttons to push, no 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. They're in Holly Springs, 662-252-2321. They deliver wherever you are, and they also are now in Oxford as well with GNM Pharmacy on South Lamar, and they deliver local with same great hometown service. Now back to Moscona on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Fascinating.
By the way, the rye that I like in old fashions right now, and I still experiment, but I went and got it because the bottle's empty, and I didn't want to throw the bottle away until I made sure I'd taken appropriate photos. It's just a simple Russell's Reserve single barrel rye. Really good.
I have actually bought a bottle of Russell's Reserve single barrel last Saturday. I popped it open, I think, Tuesday night this week. So I will give that a go, and I will let you know how it goes.
And it's great just over a big rock by itself.
I actually drank it neat, but I will absolutely try it in an old-fashioned. I might do that tonight while I'm watching LSU and Arkansas game one. Sounds like a plan.
So the one you had last night, I had tried that at somebody's house. What? Why are you laughing?
Well, because you got to understand, like, you have to come with absolutely no reservations or judgments to get into something like that, like the Slow and Low Rock and Rye. I mean, I understand what it is. Like, I even said on the thing last night on the video, like, it's the equivalent of drinking, like, a Limerita, you know? It's like if you like beer, or this is like lemon lime Bud Light or whatever that was. Remember, Bud Light Lime. Like, that's essentially what it is. You know, if you're completely going to turn your nose at it, you're going to hate it. And I get that and I respect it, but I kind of liked it.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying is I tried it, I guess, Super Bowl Sunday at some party. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was over Christmas. I don't know. It's running together. But either way, they got it out, and I kind of did what you're talking about. I kind of turned my nose up at it, and I went, no thanks. And they were like, just take a sip. Yeah. And I wanted so bad to hate it, and I just couldn't. I went, okay. I don't really want to buy it, but there's some weird place on my shelf for this in the right circumstance. Like, yeah. I'm not going to pour it at 8 o'clock at night when I want to decompress and try to chill for a second, but I don't know. I just feel like I need that in my cabinet for some reason.
You need it in your cabinet for a party, for the person that would like to drink something brown like everybody else is, but isn't going to go for the 1792 full proof, and you know that's going to make, you know, it's going to grow hair on their chest. So if you need that for someone who wants something a little different, that's why you keep it.
What do you, okay, I don't mean your good friends, what do you give the guys in your house, like when you're having the party or having the get together, that you know you've got to give them some bourbon but you really don't want them to get into your good stuff? What are you sitting out for those guys?
Oh, such a good question. So this happened last year at Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
So we always do. So my wife's family comes over for Christmas, and we host. And there's, you know, and understand, like, I don't know the depth and breadth of your selection, but I'd say right now at my house, I probably got about 45 different bottles, you know?
Okay.
So it's like, it's a good, you know, it's a good amount, and a lot of variety. And so none of them are going to drink anything straight. Like, everybody was going to mix. And so I'm putting a few bottles out, and, you know, maybe just like the or you know, you go buy a bottle of Maker's Mark or something like that, or Crown to put out. And Erica's like, why aren't you? My wife's like, why aren't you putting any of that stuff out? I'm like, well, babe, because they're like, nobody's going to drink it. They're going to pour Coke in it and Sprite. It's like, that's not how this is. And she's like, well, if that's what they like, why don't you let them? I'm like, baby, like, this is sipping whiskey. You don't pour Coke in this. You enjoy this for the subtleties and the nuance and the, like, as is. And she just couldn't wrap her mind around that. So if I'm having a party, like, that's where I'm going. But I keep an eagle eye, because if I put something, like, let's say I take a bottle of Four Roses single barrel, which I like a lot. You can get it for like 45 bucks, so it's affordable, sure. but it's good.
Yeah.
Like, I could put that out, but I'm still keeping an eagle eye on it, because I don't want anybody pouring Coke on that. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're going to drink that, just pour it over ice. If you need a splash of water, okay. But, you know, that's probably my extent. Like, my stuff that I, when you start to go a little higher end that I really like you mentioned rye, Chase. Like, I'm big into Whistle Pig. I love all the Whistle Pig line. And, like, that's not coming out. There's no chance. Like, that's staying on my bar. You know, if you start going into, one of the reviews that there was the Jefferson's Reserve, very old, very small batch, or Jefferson's Presidential. You know what I mean? Like, if you start talking about the Four Roses Limited, some of those types of things, there's no way that's coming out. Like, no chance. Like, you would have to prove to me that you actually know and would care and appreciate that to pour it. Because I'd pour it for you if you appreciated it.
Yeah, it's the deal where, see, my main liquor cabinet's in my dining room, which is one of our more entertaining areas, so I've got to take the stuff out of the cabinet. Like, we'll get close to, there's certain people coming over, and my wife's even kind of in on it now. She'll look at me and go, hey, you hadn't moved the whiskey yet. And I'm like, oh, you're right, hold on a minute. Like, I'm bootlegging. I'm carrying bottles into my office and putting them on shelves.
It's just smart.
So everything is in my office, and I have, like, a separate bar with all of my top shelf stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then I kind of have my equivalent of a well, which is that, you know, let's say $40 to $80 range stuff. And then I guess I would take that back, because the things I mentioned, like if I had a little bottle of Knob Creek or, you know, Jack Daniel's single barrel or Maker's Mark or anything like that, that is out in the dining room area in our house. So, and anybody can tap into that whenever they want. But that's where I also keep, like, rum and vodka and, you know, anything else that I don't really drink, but if anybody came over and that's what they wanted, that's where all of that is.
It's kind of a random here, but I had a bit of an obsession with it about a year and a half ago. At the time, I wasn't drinking quite as high heat bourbons. Have you had Pinhook?
I do not have Pinhook.
Okay, Pinhook.
Tell me about it.
Well, it's interesting. Their story is every batch is named after a certain racehorse, because pinhooking is like selecting your horse for racing or whatever. And they name every one of them after a horse, and that horse races throughout a circuit, you know, trying to get to the Derby, obviously, but through a circuit. And I found it. We were in New Orleans with one of my buddies a couple years ago, and we were at Pesh, and they had it on the menu, and it was a price that made sense. And I'm like, hey, I'd never heard of this. Let me try it. And it was outstanding. It was kind of in the mold of a Weller 12 or something, where you went, hey, this is kind of in that mix. And I went, okay, good. We need to try to find that. The next night, we go to Clancy's. They've got it too. I'm like, well, okay, let me try it again. So tried it again, just as good. And for the next 2 weeks, I pulled every string I knew to try to find a bottle of this stuff, because it wasn't available in Mississippi. Pretty much you had to go through, like, restaurant distributors to get it, because it's normally only available in Indiana and New York and up north. Hmm. And I bootlegged it. I got a couple bottles of it, and then kept doing the batch as they kept coming out. And it's pretty affordable, but it's just finding it is the hard thing to do. But it's owned by the same people that used to have Kenton's in New Orleans. I think Kenton's may have closed now.
Mm-hmm.
But he was serving it at absurd prices in his restaurant. This is what kind of freaked me out. When I pulled up his menu when we went one night, he was serving it in his restaurant at $50 an ounce.
Ooh.
Yeah, a little
How
stout.
How much is the bottle?
You can get the bottles between 80 and 100 if you find the right place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's not – I mean, that's not all that different then from seeing, like an old Rip 10 on a menu at a restaurant where they're going to charge you $50 an ounce for it, but the bottle's 70 bucks.
Yeah.
You know, they're
overcharging in the restaurant for the association.
Of course they are. But I guess I could pin it. I'm gonna look it up, man. Yeah. I will absolutely that will be my mission this weekend, is to get a bottle of that. And if it's in Louisiana, I'll find it.
There's a liquor store that I can get it at in New Orleans, but I'll send that to you when we get off air and try to see if we can rotate it from there.
Okay.
So
I will be on the lookout, and if I score, you score. How about that, Chase?
What's the next review? What are you looking at?
That's a great question, and I normally just take suggestions from people who ask. I haven't. The only whistle pig I've done is my boss hog. So, and I've raved about that. Like all the different offerings, like the. I mean, they got a 10-year, 12-year, 15. They got the straight rye. The one I haven't tried yet is farm stock, which everything. And you mentioned the pinhook, which is kind of cool. Like I do get into sort of the novelty of different whiskeys, you know, and the story behind it. But sometimes I think like you pay for the novelty.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever had, I'm sure you have, like Jefferson's, like the Ocean.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of it. A lot of people say that they can't taste the difference, and that it's you're paying for the branding, and I respect the people that say that, but I really like it. I think there is a difference. There's a smoothness to it that I can't find in any of the other Jefferson's products that I really enjoy.
So I'll give you another example. So there's a distillery in Baton Rouge. It's Caneland, and they have a product which is Old Mississippi Floated Whiskey, and it's good. It's finished in rum barrels, and it's distilled in Tennessee, it's aged in Tennessee, then it's floated down the river. Because the story goes that, you know, obviously back then everything was floated down the river to the port of New Orleans and then distributed. And so, I mean, it's a similar concept to the ocean, right? It's in barrels, it's constant motion, so it takes on the different context and texture of the barrel as it moves consistently as it comes down the river. But you taste it, and it's good. I mean, I like it a lot. It's like $75 a bottle. And I'm going, I'm paying for a novelty here, because as I sip it, I'm like, the finish isn't long. It's the differences are subtle. It's just not something. And I did a review on it. It's good. It's just not something that if I'm going to go pay $70-$75 a bottle, like, it's not going to be for that.
Yeah,
so I think that's my similar opinion of like Jefferson's Ocean.
Yeah, I had made fun of Neil with the Jefferson's Ocean for a while, and I'm still not going to drink it. I still don't love it to the extent of buying it. But I tell you, Matt, the morning that Ole Miss's NCAA stuff came out, and I said, this is going to be a hell of a day. It's going to be terrible. I was sitting in our studio, and I walked into Neil's bar, and I just poured it neat at like 9:15 in the morning. And I said, I just need something for a minute right now. And I looked up at Neil, and I went, not too shabby. It's all right.
It's not bad.
That's a good day, man. When at 9:15 you're pouring, that's a strong start to any day, friend.
Yeah, at about 11:30, I said, "Hey, man, you know we're gonna have to write a lot today, right?"
Yeah. I've got a press conference with the chancellor in a minute. I mean, it's gonna be a day.
You probably ought to slow down.
We're probably recording a podcast too, and it helps not slurring.
This is probably not the best idea. It was a good idea at first, but you may have taken it over the line.
Oh man! Well, now I feel like that's a challenge. Maybe, you know, that might actually be a really good episode of the show. Like, to start at 9:15 and just see what happens throughout the day, and chronicle your day as you continue on that path. It had to be a Saturday though.
Yeah. So at 4:00 in the afternoon, the Moscona show took this weird turn. He just got naked.
And it shows on TV now too, so that would actually be terrifying for me.
Well, Matt, y'all are closing your week too. What are y'all? Who you talking to today? What's on the show?
Fridays are a ton of fun on my show, man. Like a good friend Ryan Terrio, who played at LSU and I won a couple of World Series. He comes in every Friday for 2 hours, and we kind of just fart around. I know that sounds ridiculous, but sometimes we stumble onto legitimate sports topics, and sometimes it's 2 hours of a World Series champ making fart jokes. And I don't know why people are into it, but they are, and it's always really a lot of fun, and it's one of our most listened to shows every single week. So Terrio's in, we talk baseball, we talk anything, and probably tell fart jokes.
It's not weekly or anything. We had DeLucci on a couple weeks ago, and he went into this big dive about clubhouse food and how whatever the city was, I forget if he told it or not, they had chili like multiple days. So what the team did is they started dropping golf balls down into the chili to see if they even changed it from day to day, and the golf balls would still be down in the chili the next day.
Do you? If you have 2 seconds, I could tell you a quick Terry O'Greg Maddox story that he told on the air.
I've got as long as you like.
What's that?
Yeah, I've got as long as you like.
All the time you have, we have.
Okay, so yeah, I probably have like 2 minutes because my kid's about to come out of the doctor here. But so Terry, he's in Chicago with Maddox, and they're in a road game, I believe, in Arizona, and showering after the game. And as the way Ryan's telling, he's like, it's one of those things where you can tell the person next to you is looking at you, right? And Maddox, as he's looking, he's looking down, like at a 45 down to the left, like he's looking right. He can tell he's like looking right at his manhood. And so Terrio's like looking straight ahead in the shower, just trying to do, you know, handle his business. And as this persists for a couple of minutes, like he finally looks over at Greg Maddox, who is peeing directly on Terrio's leg. Like, naked Greg Maddox is taking a piss on Ryan Terrio's leg in the shower.
And he's like, what are you doing?
I just think that that's, oh, no, I was like, well, did you punch him? He's like, it's Greg Maddox. What are you doing? No, absolutely not.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He said Maddox was the worst with stuff like that, like the pranks he would pull. He said he would go into the clubhouse, like on days when he wasn't pitching, like he would go into the clubhouse and he would take every towel and rub it, like folded towels, rub it on his, like in his butt, and then fold them back and put them back in the rack. So when the teammates came through, they were using towels to dry off that Maddox had rubbed on his butt, like in his crack.
Yeah, he had that reputation early in his career. He was always the one that would do like the hot foot stuff. He would light a shoe on fire, and then it just and then people would say, "Oh no, that's just the beginning. That's his juvenile stuff." He's one of the world's best pranksters,
and it makes him even more likable somehow.
Yeah. Well, we've appreciated the reviews, enjoyed them. Maybe we can get a co-op going one day. Try the same one with some split screen or something. But we appreciate
it. Dude, I would love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it. All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, later, Matt.
See you, Matt. Have a good weekend.
Thanks to Matt for joining us. Great interview with him. Enjoy talking to him as always. Probably should get him on more when it's not football season. We kind of have him pretty regular to football season, and then have deviated away. You know what I mean? As much as we love Ryan, he's kind of abandoned us now. So we're filing applications, looking for replacements.
Yeah, Ryan moved up in the world, left us. Although he does have the time every once in a while in the afternoons.
Yeah, he has a scheduling conflict. His show's in the morning now, I guess.
I was a little surprised, frankly, that when that all came about, he didn't say. But the Oxford Exxon podcast.
He did not consider our situation we have with him, with the complete lack of compensation, playing a role in the decision.
Why would you do something that's going to really help your career when you could have stayed with us every Friday for nothing? I don't get it.
Ole Miss announced Blake Henson has signed his paperwork. In case anybody was fretting over that, by the way,
I was literally posting it as we speak.
Just having notice that they're both, he's in, and the kid yesterday's in too. What's his name?
KJ Buffin.
Okay, where's he from?
Gainesville, Georgia.
Oh, he's the one you taught basketball with.
We did. We talked NBA late at night, and I might have had a couple of drinks at the time.
Was it late?
Oh yeah, it was like midnight.
How'd y'all hook up at midnight?
I had texted him earlier in the day, and he responded. And I was like, hey, you going to talk tomorrow? He goes, I can do it now. I was like, okay.
And you just happened to be awake because it was an NBA game.
I was watching Thunder Jazz. It was the night of the big comeback.
It did a lot of good.
It did a lot of good.
Prolonged things.
It did. Prolonged it 2 days. This is last Wednesday. Time flies, man.
It's May 4th. All the Star Wars crap today.
Oh, yeah, God. May the 4th be with you.
Ole Miss did Disney night the other night on Wednesday. for Pine Bluff. They had a bunch of like Disney princesses in the concourse for pictures.
It's okay.
It was fine. I had no problem with it. I was just telling you.
Ole Miss did the Star Wars thing for a while.
Like, they did Star Wars 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did it early.
Everyone does Star Wars night.
Still never seen one.
Wait, what?
You don't know this?
You've never seen Star Wars?
I've seen bits and pieces of a couple, but I've never sat down and watched a Star Wars all the way through.
Wow.
As much grief as I give Russell for having seen no movie that's ever come out ever. Yeah, I've never seen a single Star Wars movie.
I did not know
It's
that
not my
you.
Thing.
And I get it. I don't blame you.
Any type of, and I know people are going to go, this not what that, I understand, but anything that's not basically in now's time period, for whether it be sci-fi or westerns or, for the most part, period pieces, even though there are a few that I do like, I'm just not really, nah, I'm good. I don't need to go watch something from the Victorian era. I'm not a big fan of the Tudors and King Henry and all that stuff. Don't care.
You want a little hot take on Star Wars?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen them, so you're not going to upset me.
It's overrated.
Why are they rated highly in the first place, though?
Sentimentality.
Is that what it is?
I think.
Were they great production-wise for their time?
Yes.
Which is fair.
And I was a kid when they came out, and it was awesome.
Lightsaber.
I mean, you looked forward to it. Oh, yeah, we had lightsaber fights at home.
Stormtroopers.
Oh, of course. All the little action figures. Darth Vader and Luke and Princess Leia. Princess Leia in her prime was sneaky hot.
Matt Ryan, the first NFL player up to $30 million annually.
Wow. Good for him.
Yeah.
Wonder how that conversation goes. So, honey, I signed the new contract. Oh, really? How much was it? About $30 million a year. She probably doesn't turn around and say, hey, did you remember to get milk?
The totality of the deal gives him $100 million guaranteed.
So, honey,
that's a good day in the Ryan household.
Yeah, I'm guessing she doesn't say, will you please pick up your shoes? She probably just picks up his shoes.
You don't think so?
I would think not. Bringing home $100 million, she just overlooks it.
You're OCD organized around the house for the most part. What's the tick, though? What do you do that will get you griped at?
Shoes.
Is it shoes?
Shoes laying somewhere.
How do you leave shoes? Because you pick up everything. I mean, you untangle my cords during the day half the time.
Yeah, I do. I clean up after you sometimes after you leave. I don't know. I don't know what it is about shoes. I think it's like late at night when I'm just chilled, and then I forget to pick them up when I go to bed. I usually go to bed after everyone, and so I just kind of forget. And I get not yelled at. That's not the right word. Kind of nagged at.
Just kind of poked a little.
Yeah, like you left your shoes laying there, or my shoes will be.
Is your comeback something they did wrong, though?
No, I just...
You take it?
I just kind of take it. But the one I can't stand is my shoes will be passive-aggressively left, like in the middle of the floor in here.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm like...
Proving a point now.
Yeah, now you're just... You know, why not just make a sign?
Yeah, okay.
You're not OCD about picking stuff up?
Not even a little bit, no. No. Doesn't...
Do you get nervous if your car gets messy?
It's a point, but it's nowhere as high of a threshold as yours or low of a threshold as yours. I reach a point where I become very OCD about all these things, but it's got to get moderately bad, not majorly bad, but moderately bad before it kicks in. I like my workspace typically being pretty clean. I get a little bothered if I've got envelopes and stuff just kind of laying around in that aspect, but no, that's about it. I'm probably fairly difficult to live with from a standpoint of leaving things around. Now, I do the majority of the household chores, though, because I'm home more. So, I mean, because like I've said this, my wife has no ability whatsoever to load a dishwasher. I mean, none. I mean, would be a beginning level failure at Tetris no ability. And I do almost all the laundry. So you do most of the laundry too.
Yeah, I kind of have a deal with laundry. Is if I'm doing the laundry, that's cool. Just leave me alone.
What do you mean?
I'll go do the laundry kind of on my time. I'll fold it. All that stuff. But don't come in and try to talk to me and stuff when I'm doing.
Oh, you want it as a piece?
Yeah.
Deal.
Let me go.
Really?
Turn on something on Netflix.
Uh huh.
Yeah, and leave me alone.
I'll do it, but just...
I'll do it, but I don't want to talk.
Do you want help?
No.
You don't want help?
No.
Well, they're hanging up half the stuff and folding half the stuff. And...
I'm going to do it. I got it. Leave me alone.
Okay.
You know how this is. We talk a lot. And we talk to people a lot. And there comes a point in a day, and it might be as we talked to Matt a little while ago. Matt and I had this conversation. Sometimes what I really like is it goes beyond like the flavors and the. I like the 9 o'clock at night.
It's the ice.
Yes.
It's the ice.
I like to listen to the ice cube crack and pop.
And
I like to just
pop
swirl
the edge
it.
Of the glass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I like to just swirl it and look at it. And I'll get around to sipping it in a minute. But there's something calming and soothing. And I like to, I'll come in here, like today we finish, I'll take all this stuff down.
You will, within about 3.5 minutes.
And sometime tonight, I'll pour a glass and I'll do that. And I'll come in, it'll be just me. Rizzo sometimes will come in here with me and I'll just swirl it. And I'll finally drink it, but it's calming. It's not, but it's only calming if I don't want to have a conversation about stuff.
No, I'm a failure at this. I have to really make myself do it because it's not anybody else's fault. It's the conversation at night or social settings where they go, so what happened today? Tell me about your day. And it's like, oh, God, do I have to?
Yeah.
Like, no offense. Tell me about your day. I'll listen. Just I don't really want to go over it because when I start telling you, you're not going to know any of the people. Then I've got to explain that and why that. Because there's a lot of stuff in what we do, probably what anybody does. I mean, it's why The Office was a success for a dozen years or 10 years. Things in your own world are more dramatic than they really are. And when you have to explain it all out, it kind of loses a lot of the drama that you try to put on it in your own head. So no, I have to make an effort to be social at the end of the day, because I really don't like to be. I have to work on that. It's a bit of a flaw.
Yeah, I think there's a perception that I have more me time during the day than I actually have. Like Wednesday is a heavy podcast day, sometimes 4 podcasts.
It's a lot of talking.
And you're just talking and talking and talking and you're trying to be attentive and stuff. And
oh, I mean,
finish that. And I have an 11-year-old son who, when he gets in the car, talk.
Yeah.
And I have to remind myself, there's going to come a day not too long from now when you're going to wish you had this voice in your car. And so I participate in that conversation, but I finally get a moment of quiet, and I really want it to be quiet.
Oh, Karen and I both agree that we would kill each other if we were both home all day. Like, if she didn't work, I think we would oh, my gosh. Like, because if we wanted to talk or do something, you'd be like, well, you work from home, right? You're working. It's like, well, yeah, I am, but like, we're not working right now. It's like, well, there is like 8-minute stretches here or there. Like, I don't, you know, there's not like a guy hitting me in the back every time I stop for a second, whatever I'm doing. But yeah, it's there's a minute. I can eat a sandwich. It's all right. But
I did tell you this.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of sports.
Yep.
I wish I knew what the hell I was watching when I was watching hockey. I wish I understood it because I know enough to understand.
You know it a little better than you used to.
Yeah, but this Predators-Jet series, I wish I really understood the nuance of hockey because I can tell this is one hell of a good series. And I'm watching it, but I'm just kind of waiting for someone to score.
Yeah, no, I am too. I'm watching the puck and hoping for fights and scoring and whatever. It's like, you know, I've always called myself a Blackhawks fan, but I would make actual Blackhawks fans so mad because I actually know a few. And be like, hey, congratulations, we all won. And they were like, yeah, you don't count. Go away. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm just being that guy. But Anyway, all right. Thanks to Matt for joining us today. Really enjoyed his appearance on the show and all everybody else we've talked to. Yes, Neil?
This podcast has been brought to you in part by 7 South Tailgating. Don't forget 7 South. They're celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try them once. You'll never tailgate without them again. They can set up your personal gear. You can rent everything from them. Whether you're coming up for the entire season, you want to get a season-long package, you want to get an SEC-only package, maybe you're just coming in for one special game, meeting some buddies, meeting your family, whatever, 7 South can hook you up. No matter how complicated or simple your tailgate is, they can and will accommodate you. No one matches their customer service, their attention to detail. It's 7 South Tailgating.
We've used Kyle in the past. They do an excellent job back when I was a tailgater, so definitely give them a call, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.